1891. January 1st, 1891. Consecration of Teachers. Ellen G. White. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. These are the words of Solomon, the wisest king that ever wielded a scepter. Here is the testimony of a man of experience, one who had wisdom from God. We know that we love and fear God when we keep His commandments, when we are seeking to walk in God's way. When we are searching carefully for His counsel and guidance and instruction in His Word, we will not try to make of none effect the words of Jesus Christ, but will try to get beneath the surface, and will try to understand the deep spiritual meanings, and seek by holy endeavor, day by day, to follow the example of obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord would have the teachers of our Sabbath schools examine themselves whether they be in the love of God. There will be tests and provings of God to try the character in the experience of all who are working in the cause of God. The teachers should be constantly learning and striving for a more thorough understanding, a right judgment in the things of God. There is danger of the teachers becoming self-confident and so filled with self-esteem that they will not realize their own deficiencies, that there is with them a narrowness of ideas, and they do not broaden or expand. They do not become more and more capable, but more and more self-important. They do not bring Jesus into their hearts and into their experiences. The teacher should cultivate his powers, cultivate his speech so as to speak distinctly, giving intelligent articulation. The mental powers should be cultivated, not be left so weak and the powers of thought so confused that they cannot explain nor understand the doctrine of our faith. If the teacher is not one of sincere piety, of purity, of self-denial, of willingness to endure inconvenience, then he is not fit for the great and solemn work. It is the duty of the teacher to test his own powers, his own spirit, and understand his true position before God by close examination. Those whose duty it is to select teachers should be guarded and not urge those into the school who are not fitted to exert a good influence. How is the teacher's behavior? Is he punctual? Is he cleanly and neat? This should have attention, for these qualities are essential in a teacher. How can he enjoin these necessary acquirements upon the class unless they have an example of punctuality, of neatness, composure, and order? If the teacher is not in his place, and the class are left to amuse themselves, and the teacher comes rushing in, breathless, behind time, the influence is leading to non-punctuality and disorder. The one who shall accept the responsibility of teacher, if not fully qualified, if he senses the responsibility of his position, will do his utmost to learn. He will cultivate reverence, cheerfulness, and firmness. Let the deportment be of that character that your class will be educated to have solemn thoughts and reverence toward God. While the ideas may be presented in simplicity, the language, when speaking of God, of Christ, His sufferings, His resurrection, as realities to you, should carry the minds up high above earthly things and make them feel that they are in the presence of the Infinite One. The Sabbath school is no place for that class who skim the surface, who talk fluently and in a spirit of levity, of eternal, testing truths which are higher than the heavens and broader than the worlds. The behavior of a class will represent the character of the teacher in the example which they have before them. If they are rude and continue so, if irreverent, then there is a cause, and the matter needs to be thoroughly probed. The teacher may have reverence and yet be cheerful, and in the place of flippancy of manner, he should be a searcher for the deep things of God. Any affectation will not be natural. Let the class receive the impression that religion is a reality, that it is desirable, for it brings peace and rest and happiness. Let not your class receive the impression that a cold, unsympathetic character is religion. Let the peace and glory of Christ's presence within make the face speak his love, the lips utter thankfulness and praise. Those who are in the habit of communing with God will have his light reflected in the countenance. Children hate the gloom of clouds and sadness. Their hearts respond to brightness, to cheerfulness, to love. While a teacher should be firm and decided, he should not be stern, exacting, and dictatorial. A dignified authority is required in the teacher, else he lacks that ability which will make him a successful teacher. Children are quick to discern any weakness or defect of character in the teacher. The deportment is making its impression. The words which you utter will not give them the right mold unless they see in your character the model. A correct Christian character, exemplified in the daily life, will do a great work in the character building of your class, more, far more, than all your teachings and oft-repeated lessons. God has so related us individually to the great web of humanity that unconsciously we draw from others with whom we are brought into contact their ways, practices, and habits. And God forbid that the least of one of these little ones shall be left to walk from the path cast up for the ransomed of the Lord to walk in. Let the teacher have that practical godliness that the character and the love of Jesus will be revealed in him. The Sabbath school is not a place of entertainment, to amuse and divert the children, although rightly conducted, it can be all of this. But it is a place where children and youth are educated, where the Bible is open to the understanding, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. It is a place where the light of truth is to be imparted. Not all who teach in our Sabbath schools qualify themselves for the work. Let every teacher feel that he must know more. He must be better acquainted with those with whom he has to deal, better acquainted with the best methods of imparting knowledge, and when he has done the best he can, that he has come far short. Do not deal out to the intelligent minds of children words without the moisture or dew of grace. Do not make plain truths dry and uninteresting. Do not clothe in mystery that which is clear and simple. Be careful not to advance a thought that would lead them to misapply the scriptures. The teacher himself must learn the truth before he can teach it. You cannot impart that which you yourself have not learned. Unless you have yourself learned of the great teacher, you cannot impart the right kind of knowledge. Truth and principle must be woven into the education in such a way that the child comprehends it. The highest principles, the loftiest truths, the purest motives are to be brought into the education. There is a very large amount of careless, inefficient teaching in an indiscriminate way, and the real value of the soul and its salvation are treated in such an indifferent way that religion is not understood. Truth must be brought into the mind so that the intellect can lay hold of it as truth that will, if practiced, save the soul. The teacher must have the love of God in his heart by experimental knowledge, else he cannot impart the knowledge to children and youth. The Sabbath school should be a good training school. Men who are but youth should not, with their small experience and limited knowledge, engage in actual labor to be an educator to others. This period is the most critical in the life of youth. Mrs. E. G. White, December 1, 1891. The Need of Genuine Religion in Sabbath School, Ellen G. White. Our Sabbath schools are not what the Lord would have them to be, for there is altogether too much dependence placed upon form and machinery, while the life-giving power of God is not manifested for the conversion of souls for whom Christ died. This order of things must be changed if our Sabbath schools meet the purpose for which they exist. We must have consecrated teachers who love God supremely and their neighbors as themselves. The Lord has made ample provision that teachers may have increased ability from Sabbath to Sabbath, that they may teach to some purpose, working as for time and eternity. We need in our schools young men and women who have vital godliness, not a cheap, superficial experience, but a deep inward piety that results from learning daily in the school of Christ, that they may impart to others the precious lessons which Christ has taught them. Those who are satisfied with following a certain dry order of going through a round will miss the mark and fail of the work that should be done by a Sabbath school teacher. But if those who engage in this important branch of God's cause are Christians in the full sense of the word, doing the work given them of God in His fear, working with love for souls, for whom Christ died, they will be laborers together with God. When superintendents and teachers give themselves without reserve to God, they will not only resolve, but put their resolutions into effect. As soon as the workers in Sabbath and day schools enter upon their proper work with a full realization of their dependence upon God, the grace of Christ will be supplied to unite with their human effort. It is important that every worker should understand that conviction and conversion of souls follow the cooperation of the human effort with the divine power. Entire consecration of soul must be maintained as much by the teachers and superintendents of our Sabbath schools as by the ministers in our pulpits, for all alike are engaged in the work of bringing souls to Christ. Each in his place is to work as did Christ, in the spirit of love for the erring and impenitent. This is what Christ would see in the Sabbath school work. The teachers should set a right example before the youth, in spirit, in deportment, and in dress they should be attired in plain, simple garments, and their spirit should be as humble as a child's, yet pure and elevated, for they stand in the presence of God to represent the character of Christ to their scholars. In the spirit of devotion, with tenderness of heart, they should look upon their charges, remembering that Jesus said, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." The angels of God that behold the face of the Father in heaven are looking upon the children and youth whom you, as living agents for God, are teaching the way of salvation. Think of this, superintendents and teachers. You are in the presence of heavenly angels, doing work the character of which will testify to your fidelity or unfaithfulness to Christ. If teachers would ever bear in mind that it is the Holy Spirit that must reveal to the soul glimpses of heavenly things, and that as they work in the Spirit of Christ, this heavenly agent is impressing the mind with divine truth. If they would ever realize that angels are about them, that they are standing upon holy ground, much more efficient work would be done in our Sabbath schools. The teachers would not be devoid of spiritual grace and power, for they would have a realization of the divine presence. They would understand that they were but the human agents through whom Christ was imparting his heavenly light. Their labors would be instinct with earnestness and power, and they would know that the Spirit helpeth their infirmities. The superintendents and teachers in our Sabbath schools must be converted, rescued from their habitual insensibility. The precious lessons of truth must not be taught in a tame, lifeless way, but by daily communion with the Lord, by a reception of the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. Life-giving power must be added to their efforts to win souls to Christ. They must continually keep the mind stayed upon Christ, that the thoughts and impulses may be of a spiritual character, and that their manner and method of teaching may be subject to the dictation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in its highest manifestation to men, is to enable them to put forth their best energies, as God is working in them to will and to do of His own good pleasure. Without me, Christ says, ye can do nothing. The worker is not to be left alone. The Spirit of God is given unto him that he may will and do of God's good pleasure, that he may make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Then, teacher, follow the leadings of the Spirit. As the Spirit of God draws the hearts of the children and youth, you draw with tenderness and love, inviting them and pleading with them to give their hearts to God. The children and youth are Christ's purchased possession. He has bought them with an infinite price. Jesus loves the little ones. He looks with pity upon the young, for he knows how Satan will seek to attract them into the broad way, making it look enticing to their eyes. And Jesus bids the angels to take special charge of these inexperienced souls, in their homes, in their school life, and in the Sabbath school. The Spirit is continually striving with them, seeking to draw them to God, and the laborer, together with God, will feel his responsibility and will earnestly work to win souls to Christ. The scholars in your class may be perverse and stubborn, inclined to evil. They may severely test your patience, and yet their hearts are soil into which you may sow heavenly seed that will bear a harvest for good. If the teacher is not imbued with the Spirit of God, he will become discouraged, lose his self-control, and by an impatient word, by a severe reprimand, may cut off all his influence and make a failure of his work. The Sabbath school teachers have need of walking carefully and prayerfully before God. They must labor as those who must give an account. They are given an opportunity to win souls for Christ, and the longer the youth remain in impenitence, the more confirmed they become in their resistance of the Spirit of God. With increase of years, it is probable that there will be a decrease of sensibility to divine things, a diminished susceptibility to the influences of religion. Every day, Satan works to fasten them in their habits of disobedience, their spirit of impatience, and there is less probability that they will become Christians. And what shall be the account finally to be rendered by indifferent teachers? Why does moral diffidence bind the soul of the teacher and make him reluctant to put forth proper efforts for the conversion of precious souls of youth and children? Why not let the Holy Spirit create an atmosphere about the soul that will drive away moral darkness and bring heavenly light to others? The truly converted laborer in the Sabbath school will not be molded after the customs and practices of the world, but will stand in moral independence. He will set an example that will be consistent with his profession, coming out from the world and maintaining a separation from its spirit and fashions. He will not be turned in the least from his steadfast purpose to be one with Christ, nor yield an iota from his stand of fidelity to God, in opposition to pride, to indulgence in selfish amusement, to expenditure of means for the gratification of inclination or love of display, but will be an example in spirit, deportment, and dress. Sabbath school worker, which will you meet? The standard of Christ or that of the world? Oh, will you not say, I will lift the cross and follow Jesus? Will you not cultivate his tenderness in persuasion, his earnestness in exhortation, and exemplify the exalted principles of the truth, manifesting in life and character what the religion of Christ has done for you? Shall we not all heed the exhortation of the Apostle, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts thereof? There is need of representing genuine religion before the youth. Such religion will prove a vital power, an all-pervading influence. From heartfelt devotion, joyousness, freshness, and continual growth will spring. And this is the religion that the youth must behold if they are to be drawn to Christ. This kind of religion will leave its divine impression upon souls, and its possessor will be renewed both mentally and physically by the refreshing grace of God. Try it for 1 year, you who are educators and teachers in our Sabbath and day schools, and see if you will not be able to say, "The Lord hath wrought wondrously for us, for many souls have been brought to the Master, as precious sheaves for the heavenly garner."